Oh. thank you. Here all the next hour. So there's a lot for today. There's the first day of Advent, which is hope. And then we're on our seventh and eighth power of our 12 power series, which is love and wisdom, which is also about hope. And then I hear this song, which is also ties into the love and the wisdom, which creates discernment. And it's like, do I want to do what I know is the right thing to do somehow, instinctively, even though there's nothing in humanness to tell me this is the right thing to say yes to? But love, where's my papers? How did I forget that fast? I was so taken back by the song. Did you find me? Our divine mind faculty, because the first week we talked about faith in the middle of the brain there. And faith is our yes power. And then we had will behind our left eye. And will is an executive power that's seeking to carry out what I have said yes to. Whether I've said yes to something positive or negative doesn't matter. I've said yes to it. It's not a judgment call. And then there's understanding behind my right eye, which is the worker one. It knows how to carry out what the will wants. And then we did imagination right up here. It's our third eye right in the middle. Teresa talked about zeal a couple of weeks ago. It's our enthusiasm power. It's what I can use to be excited to be me. And then last week we talked about the power of power and the power of our words and letting our word be impeccable. And then this week we get to love and wisdom. And I like to combine love and wisdom together because they need to work together. Love without wisdom is just too frivolous. And wisdom without love is too rigid. And so to have them work together, and they create what I call, it's not a power, but an action, which is discernment. That I can discern between what is right and wrong for me. And that's not a selfish thing. Because if I'm excluding everybody, then it's not the right thing for me. If I'm like gonna hurt somebody, you know, the right thing for me is to go kick somebody in the shins. No, how could that be the right thing to do unless it's the only way to wake them up? But really, I need stronger guidance than just my own mind to tell me that one. And so to look into things and say, discernment, love and wisdom working together within my hope of a Christ consciousness awakened in me. That's work. That is true spiritual work. And so many people don't want to do that. It's a nice idea. Oh, Sean spoke. He's so with such wisdom today. By the way, wisdom was originally called judgment. It sits here in the solar plexus. And Charles Fillmore's second wife, Cora Fillmore, changed it to wisdom because felt judgment got a bad rap and was highly misunderstood. But judgment is an act of discernment within it as opposed to I judge thee. And so to look at that, but to realize, oh, I'm responsible for my spiritual life. I'm responsible for my spiritual practices. News, the minister is not responsible for your spiritual practices. The messenger is a messenger. You are responsible for your spiritual practice. You are responsible. And if it's not working out, change the way you're practicing it. Rather than blaming, rather than criticizing, just get on. Oh, I have discerned the way I do my spirituality doesn't work. How do I know? I'm not happy. I'm confused. I don't have enough money. I'm angry. And you know, those could be signs that perhaps you have to change or shift your spiritual practice. A few weeks ago, I was so angry, and I heard the voice clearly that said, Sean, if you don't do something about this, you're gonna get sick. And let me tell you what happened. I didn't do something and I got sick. I knew it. It was not a punishment from God. It was the result of my thinking. There is no punishment from God. There is no reward from God. So I had to look at that and say, well, I don't want to continue to be sick and I don't want to get sicker. So, okay, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me, this is my favorite prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And I'm still saying it because I'm resistant to certain possibilities. And so I don't necessarily want to put my hand in the fire, Al. And to look at that and say, you notice I don't put my hand in that fire. I'm right-handed. Ow. But to look at that and say, okay, love and wisdom. And then there's the whole aspect of hope of the Christ awakened in me. And it's not the way it used to be, this awakening thing. It's guilt is not redemption. Shame is not redemption. So there's no point in shaming myself or guilting myself into something. There is staying awake. There is continued prayer and asking for true vision. And what is appropriate here for everyone? And so I keep asking rather than raging. There's so many words that were in my vocabulary a month ago that aren't there anymore because they weren't helping. They were not productive. And I guess I did have to go through that, but I got sick. I didn't make anybody else sick. I made me sick. I don't want to be sick. I was told by my teachers, I don't have to be sick. I was told by my teachers, I do not have to live in poverty. I was told by my teachers, and I liked my teachers, for one thing, they were funny. They made me laugh through all this spirituality stuff. And they taught me through their mistakes. I know a minister down in Florida once, she said, Sean, if there is a mistake to be made in ministry, I've made it at least twice. And I laughed because it was true. I knew her. And but I also knew, oh, this is accurate. This is very accurate. And I've been around church a long time, so I know what can come up in churches, and I know what can come up in corporations, and I know what can come up in the restaurants, and I know what can come up in life. And it's not always comfortable. And I don't always have a clear vision, but sometimes I don't want a clear vision. Anybody? Anybody ever not want a clear vision? You don't really want to see what ought to be thought, said, and done by you, because it would make you wrong, for one thing. It would make something you invested in highly be a really poor investment, except maybe for you can learn from it. Anybody ever had any learning lessons? Yeah, I've learned from a lot of mistakes. I've made seeming mistakes, but I do believe all things work together for good. What man meant for evil, God meant for good. A teacher taught me that about my last stepfather, and she was referring to what Joseph said about his brothers, who in the end of Genesis there, you know, what you meant for evil, what you did to me, you meant that to hurt me and to hurt, but look at the good that came from it. And so I am open and receptive to know that good can come from anything. And what would that good be except an awareness of my oneness with God? An awareness of my oneness with life. And so we have Risa here singing, Mary Said No. Are you telling me you want me to give birth to a child that then is going to be so exalted and then hated and then killed? That's what you're asking me to do here. Let me jot this down. Let me take it to my psychic, my spiritual advisor, my astrologist, and let me see what the answer. It's like, how do you say yes to that? If you actually are consciously aware that that's what you're saying yes to. I would not have said yes to a lot of life had I been aware of it when I was saying yes to it. Would you? Would you have said yes to it? Patrick, would you have said yes to a lot of stuff in your life had it been played out for you on the, let's watch the video, please. Yeah, that's going to happen. Do you want this? No, there's the bondage of self. I don't want that bondage of self. I'll take this bondage of self. Let me just have too much money. Let me be loved too much. Let me be happy all the time. That's how I want to suffer. But, you know, unity didn't start because two people had more time and money on their hands than they knew what to do with, and that they wanted to do a little service. No, it was dire straits for them. They were going to die. Myrtle Fillmore had been given a death notice from her doctor, and she didn't care for that. Charles Fillmore, his one leg was paralyzed, or not paralyzed, but highly crippled from an ice skating accident, a tubercular leg, actually, when he was a kid. And the ways of the world aren't going to heal us. I can't go to emergency care and be cured. Even this book will not cure me. My friends who mean well are not going to cure me. And the way my church has prayed has been ineffective for healing. I want to choose life, and I want to choose it more abundantly. There must be a way. And then Myrtle Fillmore, you know, his co-founder, went to a meeting, a town meeting in Kansas City, and she heard this guy, E.B. Weeks, say, "I'm a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness." What? I'm a child of God? I thought I was a child of my parents. But I'm a child of God. And there is no sickness in God. There's no poverty in God. There's no mistakes in God. That's why she understood her God. She liked the Jesus Christ example, or the Jesus example, as he sought to attain his highest mind. And she felt that within that kind of thinking, that modality of thinking, that example of thinking, all healing could take place. So she sat down. And the first thing she did was apologize to her body for having called it sick. And she did it once, as she was advised. And only once, because otherwise guilt sets in. Oh, I'm so sorry, I called myself sick. I'm so sorry. That the guilt just makes more sickness. Shame makes more sickness. But you apologize once because the cells can hear you. In case you didn't know, the cells in your body hear your thinking. They hear your words. So they're intelligent. And so from there, she began to praise her body. She began to praise all of the organs. She, from head to toe, toe to head, she began to praise her feet. She praised her shins. She praised her ankles. She praised her knees. You know, everywhere, going up the body and then back down from the head. She praised her brain, everything. And she began to praise it. And here's why. Because we respond to praise. Don't you respond differently to, "You look great today," as opposed to, "You feeling okay?" You know, what do you mean? What's wrong? It's you didn't even know you weren't feeling well until somebody asked you if you weren't feeling well. It's one of my least favorite things to be asked. Are you okay? Yeah. But I sure do like to be praised. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. You look great. Your hair looks great. I love when they tell me that. Your hair looks amazing today. But I take it and I respond well to it. David says, "I picture you as a bald child, and it's adorable." Aww. Isn't that sweet? Sweet, he doesn't need me to have more hair. He likes it like this. He didn't know me when I had much hair. That beautiful hair. Anyway, but he the praise. "Your skin looks good. I love you. You're so wonderful." And we respond well to that. And the health cells begin to build up. And our bodies begin to get better. Then we can work with the doctors. You know, then what doctors do with us is far more effective than working with us with a lousy attitude, with a hopelessness attitude. But when there is hope and there is an assurance of things hoped for, which is faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of that which is not yet seen. And too often we're responding more to the things hoped for and that which is not seen rather than the conviction and the hope. So to pay attention to that and realize, oh, I stand taller today. And that's what Reyes quoted me, what I used to always teach in classes. You look in the mirror and you say, hi, God, because we are God beings. And so when you look in your eyes and you say, hi, God, you can say, hi, love. You can use whatever word you want that you're going to respond to. And that's where love and wisdom working together to discern your spiritual practice. See, I got back to that. To discern love and wisdom working together. And how do you, what's the best way for me to get spiritual wisdom is to say, Holy Spirit, tell me what to think about this. I like the word Holy Spirit, but I could say highest mind in me, tell me what to think about this. But I do not say, oh, please, God, tell me what to think about this, as if God has been absent. When I state, Spirit, tell me what to think about that, what I'm stating is I am willing to know the correct thought about this in order to know the highest way. That's really what I'm expressing, is my own willingness. And then understanding brings about, you know, the powers do work together, and I suggest you study them. And so we have our hope, and we have our love, and we have our wisdom. And then there's nothing frivolous, and there's nothing rigid. There's wisdom. All working together, discernment working together. Next week, we're going to talk about order, which is down in the navel. But at this point, you realize, oh, there's a way. There's a way in which to experience peace and joy and love. There is a way, and I'm responsible to walk the way. Nobody else. I am responsible to walk the way. It doesn't matter what my parents did. Doesn't matter what my teachers in high school did. Doesn't matter what my grandparents did. Doesn't matter what Adam and Eve did. You know, we can go back as far as we want. Doesn't matter what the neighbor next door did. Doesn't matter what our best friend did. What matters is, what am I doing now? And an affirmation without the thought behind it of divine possibility is ineffective. Faith without works, as they say, is dead. And so to look at that and say, where is my faith? What do I need to think, say, and do in order to bring about? Here's why I tithe to where I am spiritually fed. And I'm not trying to get, you'll just tithe if you choose to. That's not the point of this. So I tithe because I don't want to be afraid of money anymore. I tithe because to me, that is the forgiveness of money. My teachers, who are highly prosperous, they told me, tithe to where you are spiritually fed. They said, don't tithe to charity. Give 1/10 of your income to where you are spiritually fed. Out of the other 90%, give all you want to charity. But you want to tithe not by rote, not by rules, not by rigidity of just the wisdom, by discernment. Where when I came here, we used to tithe, oh geez, we just tithe the three places. No, we didn't before, they did before I came here. They had three, maybe four places every single month. When I came here, I said, can't we have fun with it? Can't we have joy in our tithing? Where are we fed? Sometimes we're fed by those places, but we're also fed by artists, and we're fed by musicians, and we're fed by other churches. We are fed in joyful places, writers and what have you. And we began to tithe, and we began to prosper. This place prospered like nobody's business for a long time. Then I fell asleep for a while, and everybody went to sleep with me, which doesn't sound nice. Do you know what I mean? And then we woke up again, and we started prospering again. And then, you know what's happening now. But new choices have to be made now. But I wanted to have my spiritual practice in joy and in love and fun and make it interesting rather than rigidity. If you're not tithing in love and wisdom, and if you're just doing it in love, there's all that poor thing, I have to give my tithe there. But that doesn't work. And rigidity is, I must do it here, whether I'm fed here or not. This is the only place because somebody told me this is where I have to do it. But my teachers told me to have fun. One of my greatest teachers is Reverend Edwin Gaines. And she said, Sean, I tithe all over the place. I, and my income had just went crazy. My income just went crazy in life. And so find out for yourself in your spiritual practice, in your forgiveness practice. How's it working? And it's not about I forgive you. Because the different thing is, I didn't have the power to judge you in the first place. I pretended. I did. Judgment isn't I judge thee. Judgment is discernment. Did I use love in this? Or just my head? And so you go from there. And so my prayer practice is, God, tell me about this. How do I need to experience forgiveness? What do I need to think, say, and do in order to do that? And it's not to let everybody off the hook or let myself off the hook. It's to have a spiritual experience. Everything I do should be so that I can know God better. Because as I know God, my confidence builds. So Mary finally said yes. Finally said, fine. I have to do this, and I don't want to do it. There is wisdom in this, and I don't know why, and it's going to hurt my heart. And the last thing this mother would have wanted to do was be worshipped and adored forever and ever. There's no logic in that. She should not be a religious figure. She said yes to a calling. We need to answer more of our calls. Spirit is calling. Answer. And so, I didn't say anything of what I'd planned to say today. But I was inspired here. Use discernment in your choices so that your hope may play itself out and how you can have the greatest life that you're promised. And Risa just might have a song on that topic. Thank you.